Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Indeed, 855-99-37569. So we just got an instant, was it a Facebook or an email that somebody wanted to talk with us about?
This came in through Facebook.
Okay.
Literally as the last segment of the last hour ended. So,
okay.
It's from Ramona. Ramona says, Dr. Joy, how do you feel about the statement, don't deprive your husband of sex? I never hear people telling men, don't deprive your wife of romance and affection. FYI, the last 3 years, I have been pleading with my husband for romance, to tell me he loves me, to tell me I look nice, and for a date night. I am now to the point when I am having sex with him twice a month, and now he's telling me I'm depriving him. He's still not willing to meet my needs, but wants sex 3 to 4 times a week.
I was going to ask you how long you've been married, but you don't have any idea. See, that's the problem about one of these kinds of things. Well, I think your point's well taken. You may have to put on your big girl pants, as opposed to taking off your big girl pants, and say to him, listen, darling, presumably, when you say you want sex with me, you're wanting me to be involved, to be interested, to be receptive, to be responsive. And here's when I need to feel that way. That we need to have more closeness. Because then the sex will be better, not only for me, but for you as well. So, I mean, sort of saying I want to have sex 3 or 4 times a week, and I'm never going to tell you that you look pretty. I'm never going to have a date night with you. What are we talking about here? I have no idea what's really going on here. I have no idea whether he's lost his job and he's feeling inadequate and this is his way of doing some acting out. I have no idea whether one or the other of you have had an affair. I don't have any idea if you guys want to have children, what kind of birth control you're using. So it's one of those... Listen, just call me up and fill me in so I can be useful to you on this one. Because this is, first of all, bottom line is sex is something that should be consensual between the two of you. And explaining to him, and you don't have to be mean about it. You can be charming and you can be seductive and saying, look, kiddo, here's the deal. You know, I'd like to approach you about sex, and the way to get me hot and bothered is to take me dancing. And it doesn't have to be to a gala party with formal dress. It just has to be something where I feel that you're interested in me as something other than just a place to rest your whatevers. But you don't have to be angry about it, and you can be adorable and seductive. I don't know what else is going on in your marriage, and it sounds to me the two of you don't negotiate very well with one another. And he, instead of saying, well, I'm not going to give you what you want unless you get what I get what I want, and you're saying the same thing, then that neither of you are feeling particularly close or cherished or cherishing about the other person. And so, again, this is one of those things that would really be helpful if you gave me a holler so I could actually give you a little bit more direction here. Because there, you could hear, I mean, all the questions I had to ask you, that Manny, as good as he is, could not answer. What can I tell you? 855-99-37569. Maria, you're on the air. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. Howdy.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I had a question. I often look at things and think, oh, what would Dr. Joy do? And I usually come up with the answer. But there was a debate that I read recently. The question presented was, do you allow your teenage child to have sex in your house? And then they present the two arguments. One argues in favor and one argues against. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on it.
Okay, well, let me do two things. Let me answer that in the abstract, and then let's talk. Do you have teenage kids?
No, not yet. I just prepare in advance.
Do you have kids?
Yeah, I have two daughters.
Okay.
One who will be 13 and I hope not sexually active in a few months. And it was just, it's a magazine that I like a lot. I read it all the time. And this one particular argument, usually I can find where my thoughts lie. And on this one, I could see both sides of it.
Right. Presumably the person who's saying yes is saying yes because it's safer and you at least have some control over it.
Sort of. That was sort of the argument. I don't know so much about control, but saying, we know they're doing this. We know that they're, you know, we provide them with the conversation and we provide them with birth control. And it's the same argument that parents make about, and I don't agree with it, but it's different in my opinion about letting their kids drink in their house because mm-hmm. we know they're doing it anyway, but drinking is illegal. And so I don't think it's the same thing, quite honestly.
I don't think it is either. And I was going to say that you can look at the issue about drinking. And the issue about drinking, though, is a much more controllable kind of situation because you can say to the kid, I think even parents who allow their kids to drink don't give them unlimited access to the liquor cabinet or say you can get as drunk as you want.
Right.
So they say things like you can have a glass of wine with dinner or you and your friends can come over if it's okay with their parents and each of you can have a beer. Or you can drink at the house as long as you pay for the liquor, which I think is a very smart thing to do because that at least there's a sense of, is it really worth it to me to go and buy a six-pack as opposed to just giving it to them? But you're right. I mean, you're not going to be able to say to your kid, well, it's okay if the two of you get naked and you have oral sex, but you can't have, you know, you can't have intercourse. I mean, that's what are you going to do? Go in and say, oh, no, time out, backfield in motion, illegal use of the hands, penalty. So I don't think it is the same. The issue about safety seems to me to be an important one. But I would get it down to, and interesting, I know parents who have different philosophies for their daughters and their sons. They'll allow their sons to have sex in the house, but not their daughters, which seems to me to be...
And in this particular argument, it really stood out. It was they were both talking about their teenage girls.
Yeah, yeah.
And one family said absolutely not, and about boundaries and you don't want to know about your kid's sex life, etc. And the other one said, no, our daughter has a boyfriend who lives out of town. We know him. We like him. When he comes and stays, he stays and sleeps in her room. I think the girl's about 17.
Well, see, part of it is exactly as you say, is going to be age sensitive. Of a kid who is, let's say, 17, a senior in high school, is going to go away to college next year, seems to me, and depending about whether or not you've got young kids at the house, I swear to you, when I was married, my parents at one point didn't let us sleep together. And I was married. I was young, but I was married. So let's just walk through it. The core issue seems to me not do you allow them, because kids can find a way to have sex wherever they want to have sex, as we all did. The issue is, what kind of message are you sending?
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem to me one of the kind of sneaky things to do is to be able to say, do you want to make it easy for someone to do something you don't necessarily want them to do? And I don't. And so let's look at various ages. Would I let a 12-year-old have permission to have sex at the house? Absolutely not. I think it was just too young. They may not, but if it's not too young, let them figure out the logistics of it. I don't want to make it easy for us any more than I would let a 12-year-old drink, a 12-year-old drive a car, a 12-year-old live on their own. All right, so 12-year-old, no. 15-year-old gets a little more complicated. Would you let a 15-year-old drink at home? It sort of depends on the kid, I think, among other things, how responsible they are, what is it they want to do. And so what I would do, I think, if I were a parent, and God knows I am, is have a kid essentially submit a proposal to me. I would argue that the kind of unspoken issue is, if you give your kid permission to have sex, are they more or less likely to have sex at your house? And that seems to me somewhat of an open question. One of the things I learned to do as a parent is to sort of say, to kind of take the forbidden fruit issue out of some issues. Instead of saying, no, you can't do that, saying you can do it under these circumstances, or you can do it, you can have, your friends can have a beer at the house, assuming, number one, that their parents say it's okay, which I need some proof of. And second of all, you buy the beer. So let me put you on hold. We'll come back and talk about this a little bit more. All right, 855-993-7569. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
Hey, sorry I'm running late. I had to stop and get my vitamins for the month.
I got mine in the mail yesterday from DiscountNutritionShop.com. So I'm here, totally on time.
DiscountNutritionShop.com?
Yep, they're a lifesaver in more ways than one. They have all the nutritional supplements you need, the major brands you know. Plus, you can save up to 10%. Write down this number, 888-908-4548.
Huh?
888-908-4548. Or just go to DiscountNutritionShop.com.
By now, you've heard about Bitcoins. But did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Advice for Life with Dr. Joy Brown. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Maria has called because she's planning ahead. She was reading an article in a magazine that had a pro and a con for letting your children. Did it specify what age? It just said probably teenage children.
Teenage children. And so in the first article, the woman who argued against it didn't mention her kids' ages. She talked about her own experience with thinking about sex and her parents' sex and things of that nature and how it blurred boundaries. And the second one talked about her 16-year-old She's a good kid. She makes good grades. She's got a boyfriend that she's had for 2 years. And she argues that when your children engage in mature acts, you treat them maturely and with respect, and you don't teach them that the best way to engage in these things is by lying and sneaking around. And you know they're having sex anyway, but are you going to tell them that the only way to have it is in the back of a car or when some other adult is not around, and that it only works as if you're sneaking around and doing it by lying and sneaking around? And she's establishing a relationship with her daughter where there's mutual respect.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy it completely.
I know. This is why I'm so torn. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I wanted a professional. These are two parents that happen to be good writers, but I wanted a professional.
I'll tell you what I would do. As I said, I would say to your kid, look, we need to have a discussion about sex, which hopefully all of us do, well before we think our children are sexual, and talk about birth control, talk about sexually transmitted disease, talk about responsibility, talk about the fact that a pregnancy, talk about the fact of vulnerability, and reputation, all sorts of things that need to be talked about. And because I don't think our children are going to come and ask us for permission to have sex. The likelihood that I would have ever gone to my parents and said, is it okay if I use the rec room. I always shared a room, so that would not have worked very well. Is it okay if I throw my sister out? I think my sister was having sex well before I was, but that's another story. It just never would have happened. But saying to your kid, look, here's what I want you to know about sex, and I don't want you to have to feel that you lie about it or that you have to be sneaky about it, but talk to me about how you think this should work. In other words, instead of making the choice for your child, because there's no question that saying to your kid it's okay to have sex at the house is saying it's okay to have sex.
Right.
And I don't know, there's so much pressure in the society for kids feeling that they don't want to be the last one standing who's still a virgin, that I'm not sure that that's a very helpful parenting guide. We need to pass along what our value system is for our kids and understand that they may or may not have the same value system. So if it were my kid who was saying, first of all, I would have the discussion with my kid by the time she was 12 or 13, because by the time she's ready to be sexual, presumably we're used to talking about it and it's not such a charged issue. I would say, even at that discussion, I don't think you should have to lie about it. Would I be more comfortable if my daughter said, look, I want to stay over at Jeremy's house tonight because we want to have sex? At that point, I might say, would you feel more comfortable if he came here so you could throw him out? Are you going to stay there the whole night? I mean, I'd probably have a discussion about it rather than making it an absolute yes, you can, or no, you can't. I think it's going to vary from situation to situation. Taking the lying out of it and the sneaking out of it makes some sense. I'm not sure giving a carte blanche that says, sure, anytime you want, you just kind of have sex anytime you want at the house. I do think, especially when parents are hopefully still sexual, and even if they're not sexual, they very likely are dating. So rather than making it, yes, you can have this, you can do this at the house, or no, you cannot, I would have a discussion about it. Because if nothing else, the real issue is not where our kids are having sex, but how they feel about sex, how they feel about us. And those are things that are not going to necessarily be rule sensitive. They're going to be context sensitive. So having a discussion seems to me, and as a kid, the idea of having sex in my own house was abhorrent. I mean, I never would have done it. I think part of the fun was that, and I wasn't not a particularly sneaky kid because I was not a very effective sneaky kid. If you get caught often enough, you just stop. Not having sex necessarily, but lying about having sex. So it seemed to me that the way to do it is to sit down when you're having that initial discussion, which should happen certainly no later than about 12, saying, look, I just want you to have this information. I assume you're not going to be sexual for another 10 or 15 or 40 years, but you need to have this information. You need to make sure that as the daughter, as the female, that you have to use protection. I would say as the male, you have to make sure that you protected your partner and you don't become a dad before you wanted to. In the old days, you may have gotten away with it and say, you know, it's not mine. You're not going to be able to get away with it anymore. So the issue is not sex. The issue is responsible sex. Now, does responsible sex mean your parent have to provide a place? Not necessarily. It may be that what a parent says is, listen, I think you should have the rights of privacy. The walls are pretty thin here. So you can tell me that you're staying out overnight, and we could even have a, I suppose, a code word. So if you, rather than saying you're at Sarah's house, you can say, Jeremy and I really wanted to be sexual, and so we both have saved up, and we're going to go to a motel. I mean, that seems to me a much more reasonable and wholesome response than saying, well, anytime you want, you know, your bedroom's available.
Right.
So okay, that's what I would do, which I know is kind of, it's kind of splitting the difference, but it seems to me to deal with both the issue of I don't, my kid's not going to ask permission for sex. I don't want to deny a permission that I have no way of denying one way or the other. I don't want my kid to lie to me. I don't want my kid to be unsafe. But I'm not sure that I really want to say to a young person, it's okay to have sex here. Now, the question becomes, for me at least, much more complicated when your kid is no longer under your auspices and away at school and wants to bring somebody home for a holiday. And that would seem to me, again, one of those issues, depending on how you feel about premarital sex. If you think premarital sex is sinful, allowing your kid to have premarital sex in your house is just plain stupid. I mean, it's going to make you unhappy. It certainly is an inconsistent way of parenting. But saying to your kid, this, if you'd like your sex life to be a little more private than that, what you can do is babysit your sister over the holiday and earn some money, and you and Harold could go to a motel.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, Aunt Sissy is going to be out of town, and as long as you leave the place in the same condition you found it, check with her, but you can probably use her house. I mean, I think there are ways of accommodating our children without giving permission per se, and letting them take more responsibility. And again, in the same way that we talked about alcohol, that once you say to your kid, it's okay to drink, but you have to pay for the booze, you're talking about a level of responsibility that is both, it's responsibility with training wheels, but only training wheels become a cocoon. Saying to your kid, you can have anything to drink in the house you want, I'm not sure that that's a very good message to send to our kids who are underage, and it's not legal for them to drink. But saying, if you drink in the house, if you have any friends over, I have to have written permission from the parents saying it's okay. And you have to replace the booze. You have to find some way of being responsible enough. And there's nothing like having to replace something or buy your own condoms or buy your own motel room to make kids more responsible. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
As the New World Order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
The Freeze Dry Guy presents Freeze Dried Turkey, Freeze Dried Ham, and the No Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House. The gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze Dry Guy's No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Across America, this is the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All right, this is the time of a week where we do It's Broken, Let's Fix It. And today we're doing something kind of a little different in that it's not necessarily something that's broken, although it may be a little chipped around the edges. There's a movie that I reviewed for you before, and this up on the website, is called Dilly Man. And what it does is a couple of things that I thought were really kind of fun. First of all, it looked at the fact that when immigrants come to any country, whether it's the United States or France or any place else, one of the things they bring their culture with them, and that could quite often language, dress, religion, but perhaps most importantly and most fun, food. So with me is Ziggy Gruber, who is the Deli Maven, and he's kind of the star of Deli Man. I guess you are the Deli Man, are you, Ziggy?
I am, Joy. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
My pleasure. All right, so tell me about the heyday of of delicatessens in the United States. Now, this was presumably, at least initially, an East Coast phenomenon, yes?
Yeah, originally it was an East Coast phenomenon, or maybe in some of the bigger cities, like, say, like a Chicago, or stuff like that. But I would definitely say the heyday of delicatessens, you know, the real heyday. I mean, there were delis in the early 1900s that were open because a lot of immigrants that came here left their families in the old country. And before they brought them back into the United States, what they did was they needed a place to eat because they were working very hard and they had nowhere to cook, so they ate in these places. But the heyday, the deli evolved, and then it became a meeting place, and it became, you know, really, really important to these communities. And I would say the deli's real heyday really started probably in the late 30s all the way up into the 60s.
All right, let me stop you for just a minute because I want to figure out why that was. But it was, as you were talking about the fact that people would come to America to start a new life and quite often could not afford to bring their families. And then it's probably not only that they didn't know how to cook, but quite often living in places that didn't have kitchens. Yes?
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, these tenements, I mean, if anyone's been to in New York, I tell you to go to the Tenement Museum over there on the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
It just shows exactly how people lived, and you're 100% right. It was like basically a broom closet these people were living in.
I can remember looking at an apartment in San Francisco once, and I realized I looked at it three times before I realized it didn't have a kitchen. So you can tell how involved I am in cooking. The Martha Stewart of psychology, not. All right, so we have people coming over and essentially needing a place to eat. Now, the original delicatessens were basically kosher, right? So they didn't mix meat and milk. So were they primarily dairy?
No, the original source were, you know, either fleisch, which means meat, or there were dairy vegetarian restaurants, what they would call, that were strictly dairy dishes and vegetable-based dishes.
So vegetarianism was part of the culture, because we think of that as a very modern kind of dietary choice, but you're saying that it was as early as the 1900s. It was pretty common.
Well, when we talk about Jewish dairy restaurants, per se, you know, it wasn't like if you were a vegan, I don't think you would eat there, because a lot of stuff that they used, there was eggs in a lot of their process of that stuff. But, I mean, back then, yes. I mean, they had these vegetable places because they needed to substitute stuff for the meat, and they got creative, and they would do stuff like pierogies and potato pancakes because they are classified in Jewish dietary law as parv, which means it could be served either in a dairy establishment or even a meat-based establishment.
Right, so the original delis were sort of separate. And then one of the things talked about in the movies, which I didn't know anything about, of course, what do I know about delis to begin with, was that it was really the Romanians that brought what we think of as classical deli food, the tongue and the pastrami and brisket and things of that sort. Is that accurate?
The Romanians were the ones that brought the cured meats in. That is correct. But the first delicatessens were German-based delicatessens, and they are the ones that had the salamis. And they had those kind of stuff, and the knockwursts and the franks and stuff like that.
All right. So why were the 30s the heyday? What happened in the 30s to?
Well, the heyday. What happened is you and it's really the American story. You had all these immigrants. They came in, and they opened up these delicatessens because a lot of them were not the most educated, and they figured, look, Mom can cook in the back. I'm going to work in the front. And Junior and the kids, they can, you know, wait tables.
Very
small establishments. And each neighborhood, on each corner, there'd be a delicatessen store. And it'd be like, you know, the meeting place of the neighborhood, the place where you could do a business meeting, a place where you could grab a quick bite. You know,
sounds like Starbucks.
You want to know something? I hate to say it, you know, before there was Starbucks, the New York delicatessen was the Starbucks. You're right. You could go in there for a cup of coffee. You could go there for something. People would hang out in these delis. Absolutely.
Well, that's what it sounds like. It was not only a place to eat, but a place, as you say, at Starbucks, you could have business meetings there.
I'll tell you, that's very astute. I've never heard anyone, you know, equate it to that, but that, I think you hit it on the nail right on.
Groovy. We love that part. All right. So the 30s, so from the 30s to the 60s, because as you say, I mean, one of the reasons I was interested in this, and this is probably not the time to tell you, but basically I don't eat meat, so what do I care about delis? Well, I care about it because it seems to me, exactly as you say, almost a microcosm in a tasty kind of way of the American experience, of the immigrant experience and the altering the experience. And why from the 30s to the 60s were delis such a big deal? Because it's at one point that you're saying that there were 1,550 kosher delicatessens in New York, right?
Right. Well, you have to remember, these people that came from Eastern Europe, they only knew about Eastern European food. This
sure.
is what they ate.
Not going to eat Chinese or Italian or French if you're from Russia.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of them, you know, it's funny, a lot of them, the only first smattering or experiencing some other culture food was Chinese, because the Chinese community was basically butt up against the, you know, Lower East Side. So a lot of people would go and try some Chinese food later on. They would call that safe treif, because in Chinese, when they cook, they don't really cook with dairy in their food.
That's a good point. I'm trying to think of anything in the peanut sauce, but nothing dairy, no cheese.
Right, so that was like the first thing, but like I said, they felt very comfortable. They would eat in these delis. This was their food. They felt home. You know, a lot of these places, you know, these communities, the whole community from the old country would move into a certain neighborhood, so they were all together. So it was kind of like bringing the village from Europe into this neighborhood, and then they would hang out in these delis. So it was definitely, you know, a more comfortable place. Now, as we progressed, you know, all of these people worked very hard in doing all kinds of things, as immigrants do, and mm-hmm. they educated their children and sent them to colleges. And then they became doctors, lawyers, and business people, and real estate moguls. And these people ended up experiencing more stuff. They tried other cuisines. They tried other things. And what has happened is they've assimilated into American culture. And they weren't eating as regularly their own food. And it's not just the Jewish community. I think that goes for a lot of immigrant communities as well.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of it. That when you come here, as you say, it really reflects the immigrant experience. You come here and you bring whatever culture you had, and you cling to it until you feel safe enough to venture out into the larger world. And quite often the venturing requires having a place to live and having a job, which means that you then have some disposable income. And so the idea of being able to shop at a supermarket or to go to a restaurant or to try another neighborhood becomes possible because you've learned the language, you have a job, you have a place to live, you have friends. So it really does seem to me that you could probably trace the immigrant experience for any ethnic group by just watching what happened to their restaurants, what happened to their
right.
food supplies. All right, so go ahead.
No, so I was saying, so, you know, a lot of these delis, like you were saying, like how we said the delis were separated. There were dairy restaurants and there were meat restaurants. As this assimilation happened, Jews became maybe not as religious. They became more secular. And then that's what happened when they wanted the Jewish flavor and the Jewish food, like the next generation of them, of people that were
the Carnegie Deli. Right, let me put you on hold. We'll come right back and talk about what happens when you can't keep them down on the farm anymore. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. My guest today is the deli man, Ziggy Gruber. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This is Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year, in addition to the emotional stress on employees and their families. That's why Famous Footwear is committed to raising funds to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in the March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Again, that's FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeWaterproofMatch.com today.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Talking about what really matters, your family, your relationships, your life. It's the Dr. Joy Brown Show at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All right, well, we're talking with Cindy Gruber, and as the guy says, we're talking about your life, your relationships, your, I suppose, cholesterol as well. Ziggy is kind of the star of a movie called The Deli Man, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it is because I think that that food is a way of understanding ethnicity, of how a group moves into a new place and how they survive and then how they thrive and then how they assimilate and become part of the greater culture. And that's exactly what we're talking about with Ziggy. So you're saying now that from a high of, you know, like maybe 3,000 restaurants in New York, that in continental United States and Canada combined, there are only like 140 delis left anymore?
Yeah, that's correct. It's sad, but it's true.
Right. I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, you mentioned that the 60s were the high point of delidom, from the 1930 to 1960. Why do you think they dropped off?
Well, I think, like I said, we talked about people assimilating, you know, and before we cut out for that break, you know, the delis combined into becoming kosher style or non-kosher stores, so people could get the Jewish flavor, but they could have dairy dishes and meat dishes, and they expanded those menus and definitely got a lot more, not just Jewish clientele, then a lot more American clientele. And it's very funny that a lot of these places were on Broadway and in Hollywood and stuff like that, and it became very big places for studio moguls or Broadway producers to do their business. So that became very, very popular. But as things changed, what happened was, because the next generation, all the parents didn't want their kids in the business, they didn't want them to work so hard, they basically educated them, they decided to do other things, and as they got older, these stores would disappear because there was no one to take them over.
How much do you think it was also an issue of health issues, that that the food that you get traditionally in delis is not exactly... I mean, I remember when I first moved came to New York, a friend took me to a deli on the Lower East Side, and they had this little pitcher of stuff which I thought was honey, because it was yellow, and it was not a chicken fat. So you're pouring chicken fat. You're pouring liquid cholesterol onto... and people would pour it on everything. I mean, I thought, oh, my gosh. And I felt like I had to go home and, I don't know, drink Drano or something. So how much do you think that the delis sort of falling out of favor were just because of health issues?
Well, listen, delicatessens can be a great place for a diet or a bad place for a diet.
Tell me the good. How can it be a great place?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of healthy things. I mean, chicken soup is the most healthiest thing you could probably have. You know, I mean, even the American Medical Association says, you know, if you're sick, this is
short in fat chain fatty acids, but not that kind of salt.
No, but, you know...
Come on, Ziggy, come on. All right, listen, I want to, before we run out of time, I want you to talk...
Remember, with a lot of stuff like this, you know, like pierogies and stuff like that, but, you know, you talk about people's changing, you know, does that come into effect? I think it doesn't. You know, people want to do that. Look how many steakhouses there are today.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And look how many... You think Chinese food is so healthy? It's really, you know what I mean, and you know they can make fun of all the ethnic restaurants.
Well, you're probably right. You could probably find some way to poison yourself no matter where you go. Let me ask you, one of the things that I thought was really charming about Deli Man was the generational issue. You already talked about immigrants coming in and wanting a better life for their children, but there seems to almost be not only in your movie but in life, or not only in life but in your movie, that kind of rebound, that the notion that you're going to be much more like your grandfather than your parent, and your kids are going to be much more like your parents than like you. Tell me about your grandfather's influence in your life, because you were a Cordon Bleu chef at one point, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the one thing is my grandfather and I, he was my best friend. And him and my grandmother, you know, at an early age, I saw them every day. I came to the store when I was 8 years old. He threw an apron at me. He told me it's time to make a living. And it was my pleasure to follow him and do whatever he wanted me to do, because it was fun and it was that family feeling, and I enjoy that. So am I, like my brother says in the film, they basically made me one of them, which is kind of true. I'm kind of a throwback in that sense. You know?
Now, you have a deli in Texas now?
I have a delicatessen store in Texas, in Houston.
Where in Texas?
In Houston, Texas.
I'm a rice girl. There you go.
Oh, you see?
Right. There, the next time
my bowels.
and the next time I'm in Rice, yeah, I'll come back. All right.
Well, will you? If you come, I'd love to feed you up. That's what I like.
Fair enough. I'll just have to go on a diet.
And you said you're a vegetarian, so I got a lot of nice vegetarian dishes for you.
All right. Listen, the next time I'm down at Rice, I'm there. So would you want your kids to go into the business or not?
I would love my kids to go into the business.
Why?
Because I'll tell you why. Because the businesses are different. You know, back then, it was hard to make a living. You know, you really worked hard. We work hard, and maybe the numbers aren't great, but they're a lot better than they were years ago. And I'd love my kids to go in the business because I think it's a traditional thing. You know, you want to call me a modern-day Tevye, you can call me a modern-day Tevye, but, you know, we must keep the tradition alive, and I hope, just like my father did, what my grandfather did, and I did what they did, I would love it that my kids were doing, because I really think it's a good service to our community and our culture. And
well, do you think your kids will do it?
I don't know. I just had a 9-week-old. She hasn't even opened up her mouth yet.
Well, I mean, let's get her committed early. I mean,
well, we named her the right name. Her name is Izzy.
There you go. Absolutely.
So this way, when she works behind the counter, I can say, Izzy, cut me a quarter pound of lox.
There you go. It sounds, I'm sure, you know, why don't you put me on speed dial? Because with that first name, she's probably going to need a therapist for a very long time. And, you know, I'll just, you can pay me off in, dill pickles are walking salt.
Actually,
so
you know what? When you let me know that you're coming, I make a fantastic, and it was Isaac Bashevis-Singer's favorite, vegetarian chopped liver. I make it with string beans and nuts and caramelized onions, and you wouldn't know the difference.
But I don't like chopped liver. Ugh.
Yeah, but it's vegetarian.
But does it taste like chopped liver?
I think it tastes similar, yeah. I think it tastes similar. I mean,
isn't there something chocolate?
I have lots of chocolate things.
Chocolate, we'll talk. All right. Ziggy Gruber, the deli man, and a new way of studying immigration patterns is just follow the food. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Miss a show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Hi, my name is DeRay, suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle, actually absorb, providing nutrients, targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.